All right, well, China ordering a seven-day lockdown of the area around Foxconn's main iPhone plant in Zhengzhou. This comes as China reiterates its firm adherence to a COVID-zero policy. Joining us now is John Liu Bloomberg, Senior Executive Editor for Greater China. I mean, there wasn't too much of a reaction in terms of what we saw from the Honghai share price yesterday in Taiwan, but this is just another example of how we're continuing to see this COVID-zero enforcement. Just tell us the latest here, John.
So the latest, Juliet, is that the lockdown in Zhengzhou has actually expanded. So we have the area around the iPhone plant in lockdown for 7 days. More broadly, the city center is being locked down for 3 days. Traffic is being limited. Trains are being stopped. Businesses are being closed. That comes after yesterday there was a spike. The number of infections tripled to about 350. Slightly lower today, the numbers. I think it was about 160 or so. And so obviously a lot of people on edge and the authorities there trying to take measures as they see fit.
What did you make of the National Health Commission telling officials stay committed to COVID zero? It seems a reaffirmation, perhaps not that new, but it does come after a period when the market rallied because of thoughts of something different going forward.
I think it was, or at the very least, the market seems to be taking it as a signal of what policymakers are thinking. That meeting at the National Health Commission, that happened as sort of a post-party Congress a couple of weeks ago. The officials there got together to study sort of the outcomes of that Congress. But in the statement post-meeting, they did reiterate that China is committed to COVID-zero, that officials around the country should be executing COVID-zero. And so in the midst of all this excitement about potentially some rollback or exit from that policy, I think that statement is telling markets, hey, calm down. You know, you might be getting ahead of yourselves.
Yeah, and tell us what the feeling is like on the ground. I mean, there must have been quite a lot of exuberance because we certainly saw that reflected in market activity on those reopening hopes or rumors. But it really does seem like they're saying, hold on, we're not there yet, and we may not even be there yet until March or later.
I think the pain that COVID-zero has inflicted economically, socially, on businesses, on the citizenship, is very pronounced, and it's not a popular policy, and I think a lot of people would like the country to exit the policy. And so what you see, there was an obvious excitement about potentially there being a reopening of the economy of the country's borders, and the markets responded in tune. I think that looking forward, realistically, if there is an exit, it's not going to come soon. It'll come gradual, step by step, and way off into the future.
John, I know you're the perfect person to ask this sort of esoteric question to, because I know you'll handle it well. It's a line from a piece that Tom Friedman wrote in the New York Times. Is 2022 the year China lost America?
Potentially. I think it could have... That could have happened much earlier. I think it, you know, the relationship has been strained, and you know, it probably that strain sort of came to the fore with the Trump presidency. But I think, no matter who was elected president in 2016, I think the relationship would have been very tense and difficult.
You know what? Does it make it a lot tougher question if we rephrased it a little and said, "Is 2022 the year China lost the West?"
I think it might be, but I think the reason there was a real shift in attitudes in the West towards China probably extends from Russia's invasion of Ukraine more so than anything that China did. I think that war has really focused people's attention on Taiwan, on how much they can countries in the West should be relying on countries with different forms of government. And that debate is more public than it's ever been.
Getting back to the lockdown too, and from Foxconn's point of view, I mean, does this make having factories in China seem less desirable when you can't really control whether or not you can continue to manufacture?
Absolutely. I think the bigger risk here for the Chinese economy is that these COVID lockdowns are going to push companies to diversify, to look for other places where they can establish manufacturing. It's not going to happen very quickly because China has some very obvious advantages. Foxconn has huge plants there, lots of workers, but lots of component suppliers around them. And so you can easily get the things that you need to put together the latest iPhone, the latest laptop, whatever you're trying to produce. In the longer term, though, those things are movable. And you've seen Apple beginning to make phones in India, for example.
Yeah, lots of other companies thinking about these types of things. On a more positive note, the PBOC governor, Yi Gang, yesterday sounded a kind of optimistic outlook, although he did say he hoped for a soft landing with the property market. But he said that the economy remains broadly on track. Your thoughts on that interpretation?
I think there are a lot of fundamental things that remain in China's favor. I think key among those is the fact that China, relatively speaking, is still poor when you compare it to the U.S., to many countries in Europe, on a per capita basis. And so that leaves a lot of room for catch-up. And catch-up is obviously easier to do, to generate growth from, than being at the cutting edge of technology, for example.
Sorry, finish your thought.
No, that being said, the situation globally is turning against China, technology-wise.
Yeah, indeed. All right. Always great reporting, John Liu. Thank you. Bloomberg Senior Executive Editor for Greater China with us in our Beijing studio.